I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It is 12:07. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I am in Cottage Grove in the satellite studio. Josh Wheeler and Al Shock are at the historic WCCO Radio building, making sure we have the latest on news, weather, and information. And speaking of information, this story reverberated throughout the country. Earlier this week, a judge exonerated Marvin Haynes in the 2005 Minneapolis murder conviction. The Innocence Project, the Great Northern Innocence Project, argued that there was no physical evidence linking Haynes to the crime scene. And I just have to get a handle on this. I am not a legal scholar. I am a broadcaster. So I am the reading the stories just like the rest of you. And so I'm calling my friend, legal expert Jules Porter. She is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Jules, I know you have been pulled by national media outlets throughout the country, being that you are based here in Minnesota, and your knowledge of the legal field as an instructor as well as a lawyer, you really are the go-to person on this story. And so I thank you for taking just a minute of time with us today to be on this program. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Shaletta. You're so kind. Thank you for having me.
Now, break this down for me. Marvin Haynes was convicted in 2005 of this murder in Minneapolis. And, you know, for so long, he and his family and then the Innocence Project, the Great Northern Innocence Project, said that there was no evidence linking him to this crime. Take me all the way back to the very beginning.
Yeah, this case, wow. I mean, when they talk about thin evidence, this is what we have here. And a big shout out not only to the Great North Innocent Project, but also to his sister, Marvina, who never gave up, who really, really pushed and advocated for people to take a much closer look at this case. So what we had going on is there was a flower shop. There was a man in the back. His sister was working kind of the front area. Somebody came in to rob the flower shop. Randy Shear in the back room heard it, came up to the front to tell the person, hey, we don't have any money here. His sister was able to run out of the store, but unfortunately, Randy Shear was shot and killed. The perpetrator then fled out of the store. They called 911, and that's kind of where a lot of this evidence and a lot of the questionable testimony begins. So when they call 911, the lady says, hey, you know, Randy Shear, you know, was just shot here at this flower shop. I think it was called Randy's. The perpetrator was dark skinned. He was wearing a hoodie. He's about 20 some years old, and he's about 5'11". Okay. So that's the very first description that they had of the suspect. Later on, they bring in the sister. They bring in a 14-year-old kid who also saw the suspect fleeing, and they ask them to identify from a lineup. Can they identify the suspect? Initially, the sister identifies a person who was not Marvin Hayes. He was not anywhere part of that lineup or a suspect yet. But the person that she identified was what's called a filler person. So somebody who wasn't a suspect, who was just there to fill out the lineup. And she said she was about 75 to 80% confident in her choice. So obviously that raised some initial issues with police. A couple of days later, they get a tip, and the tip was that a 16-year-old kid named Marvin Haynes could possibly be the suspect. There were a few problems because of the description that the sister gave was that the suspect had short cropped hair, the suspect was dark skinned, the suspect was in his 20s, and the suspect, had dark skin, in his 20s, short cropped hair, and was about 5'11". Marvin Haynes had long natural hair. He was a 16-year-old kid, was about 5'7", so much shorter than that description.
Yeah.
And I believe much thinner than what they were looking for. So that just in itself is a lot of the basis of the information. They weren't able to find any other physical evidence, no fingerprints, no DNA, no gun. There was no camera footage. Marvin Haynes' family said he was sleeping. Marvin Haynes himself said he was sleeping at the time. And that was the start of the foundational issues.
Okay, how does this case even go to trial with that kind of evidence? You know, we say justice is blind, but apparently justice is also deaf, and also has no sense of anything else, because it, just listening to what you're saying and looking at this evidence and how this took place, I just don't even understand how it got even any further than a grand jury.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we've learned is that when it comes to eyewitness identification and the very first cases that were overturned based on DNA evidence, 80% of wrongful convictions occur because of faulty eyewitness testimony. It is extremely difficult. And that's what this case was based on. It was based on eyewitness testimony. And it was also based on the testimony of some other youth saying that they heard Marvin Hayes bragging about shooting someone. Now, since that time, each of these witnesses has recanted, except for the sister, who has unfortunately passed away. And from what we learned about the sister is that she stood firm in her identification of Marvin Haynes. But everybody else has since recanted. And so that's difficult, right? So when we look at this, especially in today's time, with all the things that we know that this was likely not enough evidence to charge him with murder, and definitely not enough evidence to prove him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. So again, this is a big shout out to his sister, Marvina, who continually pushed this case, right, and brought this case to Mary Moriarty, who is now the county attorney for Hennepin County. And this case was definitely taken a closer look into. So some of the things when it comes to post-conviction relief. So in this case, all of his appeals were exhausted, meaning that he'd already gone to the Minnesota Supreme Court on appeal. And so he was basically dealing with looking at post-conviction relief, which is a very good thing that we have. However, there were some issues with post-conviction relief. You have about 2 years after you identify new evidence that should be used to grant a new trial. So that's a big shout out to Hennepin County for waiving that requirement to allow this case by the Innocent Project to move forward. And
now,
at that trial, but
go ahead, Jules.
I was just saying at that trial, they were able to convince the judge and are basically lay clear that there's no evidence. With the eyewitnesses recanting, with the original descriptions not matching Marvin Hayes at all, there is no evidence to tie him to the shooting of Randy Shear.
Now, one of the things that I read, Judge William Cox said in an agreement between Haynes and the Hennepin County's Attorney's Office that this flawed investigation violated his rights. So not only was he convicted for a crime that, you know, he says he did not commit, but his rights were violated. Jules, we're going to take a quick break because this is not an isolated incident. And just because someone accused accuses you of a crime does not mean that you can have your rights violated. What rights do you have when you are accused of a crime? If you say, hey, this is not me, I did not do it, the evidence is not there, the description is not there, but then you still go to jail. He was 17 years old. He came out 36 years old. That is a lot of time to sit there when your rights have been violated. What were those rights? We're going to talk to our legal expert, Jules Porter, when we come back. It is 12:19. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. In a message to staff, Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty says Marvin Haynes' exoneration is an important day for justice. She went on to say that sometimes doing the right thing means we must seek to undo the harms of the past and not defend them. And that is what we have tried to do in this case. It is not easy to admit and correct our wrongs, but it is necessary. We are talking about this case with legal expert Jules Porter. She is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Jules, the judge in this case, William Koch, he said that Marvin Haynes' rights were violated because of the flawed investigation. Well, when we are being investigated, the last thing we think about is rights, but that was the most important part of this case, is that his rights were violated.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I believe his name is pronounced Judge Cook, and Judge Cook is absolutely correct. One thing I want to make sure I also throw in there is that when you apply for post-conviction relief, the issues have to be different than what you brought before the Minnesota Supreme Court. And so in this case, the things that were brought before the Minnesota Supreme Court were more procedural, and here on post-conviction, they were definitely aimed at his rights being violated. Now, the biggest issue in the case is the way that the police handled the investigation, and that's what violated his rights. So not only talking about the lineup that was definitely against police procedure, they also put Mr. Haynes in the lineup twice, which suggests to a witness that, hey, this must be the person because he keeps showing up in these lineups. But also, each of the witnesses who recanted saying that they were coerced by the police to provide the evidence and the testimony that they did, and they said that the evidence and testimony they provided was false. They were being threatened with greater jail time, mainly was the issue. And so, let's see, you have the 14-year-old said that he was pressured. This was the eyewitness by police, and that he was not confident in his decision, but he was forced to stick with his initial account that it was Mr. Haynes. Then you have Isaiah Harper, who was the cousin of Mr. Haynes, and he was also said that he was pressured by police. I mean, his was a very, very big one. Anthony Todd was a person who was not necessarily brought forward as a witness. He was on the witness list, but he ended up not testifying. He also said that he was greatly pressured by police and threatened with jail time. And then there's Ashley Totend as well with the same story. So this case, the way that the police handled this, the way that they pursued and pushed this investigation, even though they had no physical evidence and no real evidence besides the evidence that they coerced out of people, I think this is the real issue here. This creates a real difficulty. And I think that now in 2023, when we know better, we absolutely demand better of our police and their investigations, as well as the cases that our prosecutor decides to bring forward.
And, you know, that's the thing with me, Jules, is that when you look at the evidence in this case and you study it, I mean, even me as a broadcaster, I'm just reading this as an average citizen, and it's just not lining up. The facts are not facting and the math is not mathing. How did it even go that far?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that is the question that Judge Cook was just as confused about as the rest of us, right? How did this get pushed this far? There have been some interviews with the initial prosecutor on the case, Mike Fernstahl. And Mike Fernstahl says he is still 110% convinced, despite all of this faulty evidence, all of these recantations, the fact that there is no physical evidence. He says he is still 110% convinced that they found the right guy, right? And this is also with the evidence that when they arrested Marvin Haynes, that he had long natural hair. Now, for black people, we don't just grow long natural hair in 2 days, okay? So that's another issue, too. The police also showed a picture of Mr. Haynes from 2 years prior to the two witnesses, 2 years prior when Mr. Haynes actually had short hair before he started growing his hair out. I mean, that's another huge red flag. Some of the arguments that the Innocent Project made was that his original defense counsel was basically an ineffective assistance of counsel argument. So when it comes to the Sixth Amendment of the United States, there are a few constitutional rights that we all have. One of them is the right to a speedy and public trial. Another is the right to have an impartial jury. Another is a right for the case to be heard in the district where the crime occurred. You have a right to confront your witnesses, and you also have a right to the assistance of counsel. So when you have an effective assistance of counsel, then that means one of your constitutional rights was violated, and that is also grounds for appeal.
Now, I just, you know, listening at this case and hearing you break it down as only you can, we're talking to Jules Porter, legal expert here in the Twin Cities. You know, the reason that I love talking to Jules is because she takes complicated cases and makes them so plain to us. And that's another reason why news outlets throughout the country are seeking her out, especially with her being in Minneapolis, very close to this particular case. I wonder how many more Marvin Haynes do we have sitting in jail right now? As of June 30th, they have the Innocence Project has had 245 victories. That's according to their website. And that's since June 30th of 2023. This is not over a lifespan of the organization. This is just since this summer that 245 people were sitting in jail for crimes they didn't commit. The Innocence Project picked them up, took them through the legal process, and these people are out of jail right now. And we look at, you know, so, you know, Myron Burrell, the case, he was released from Stillwater 3 years ago this month, after a Minnesota Board of Pardons voted to commute his life sentence in the 2002 killing of Tyesha Edwards. So, you know, how many more people, Jules, are sitting behind bars? You know, people like to say justice is blind, but justice got one eye open, and justice is looking real funny at people who look like me.
Absolutely, which is why we still have work left to do, right? There's legislation right now that is being proposed that makes it easier for people to appeal these post-conviction relief, meaning that once a person exhausts all their appeals, once 2 years have passed, that they're not then barred from having their case heard so that we don't have more innocent people sitting in prison. We also need to make sure we help Marvin Haynes find some employment. You know, one of the articles that I read said he is definitely looking for work, so that's a way that we can help him. But also I think it's important for all Minnesotans to realize when you're called up to sit on a jury, okay, your job really is to look at the facts, to look at the evidence, and to compare it to the rule of law, right? And that big piece of evidence should not just be, hey, a black person committed this crime according to the witnesses, and this is a black person before me, therefore this person is guilty. No, you actually need to look at the evidence that is presented. Look at what the law says. Pay attention to the arguments that are made by both the prosecutor and the defense. And make the best educated analysis of comparing those facts and the evidence to the rule of law. We have to take that job seriously, because that was really the last defense here for Mr. Marvin Haynes, was the jury actually doing its job. You know, I just want to make clear that even though I went through what the rights of the accused are, I don't necessarily believe that this was an ineffective assistance of counsel case. I think this was a case of an overzealous prosecutor and of jurors who, I don't know if they felt also pressured since everybody else felt pressured. But when you're in the jury box, we need you. We need you as the state of Minnesota, the citizens. We need you to take that job seriously.
Well, Jules, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I'm getting pinged and dinged from people who say, who is this Jules Porter? How can we get in touch with her? Where is she and what does she do? You know, law is just one of the things you do. So talk to me about how people can reach out to you as a lawyer. But I also want to talk about your gaming company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, I do some really fun things around here in Minnesota. So I work as a business law professor at the University of St. Thomas. So you can always look me up there. I'm the secretary for the Minnesota Association of Black Lawyers. So you can go to Mabel, M-A-B-L.org, and you can find me that way. And yes, I have a video game development company where I make video games for the PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo. And these are games where we show black and brown people as heroes. And we put our fantasies, our imaginations out there and make it really fun. And we also teach 10th, 11th, and 12th graders how to develop games. Another thing is I've developed an artificial intelligence called Zora. And Zora is definitely based off of Zora Neale Hurston. And so that's been a lot of fun in the AI space.
And I thought I saw that. I thought I saw you in the AI space. What gave you the idea to do that, to step out and do this? This is so amazing.
Yeah, so I actually, so one of my other jobs is I actually develop AI for companies on the back end. So it's really fun. I help with the algorithms. I help with the training of artificial intelligence. And one thing that I realized during that training process is these AIs don't know much about black people. They don't know much about how we got here, right? One of the AIs didn't even, when I gave it the Ferguson report from the Department of Justice, it had no idea what I was talking about. So I wanted to make sure that, especially when we have states like Florida that are outlawing the teaching of black history, that this artificial intelligence that we are going to come to depend on a lot knows our history, knows what it took to get us here, knows about the civil rights era, knows about social justice, and also that we don't lose our voice. I think there's something unique in that Harlem Renaissance era and those personalities that came out that made them so legendary. And I just want to ensure that we keep that captured and we keep celebrating them.
Well, where can folks find you? I want you to tell them about your studio, your gaming studio, because my son, the 17-year-old, just ran downstairs when he heard me talk about gaming and developing and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so the company is called Seraph 7 Studios. And Seraph is spelled S-E-R-A-P-H, and then just 7 and studios. And you can find us at seraph7studios.com. Yeah, our company is big. When I looked at social justice, when I was in law school, it was when Ferguson happened, so all of the riots that were occurring. And we also had something that was extraordinary, which was that the grand jury testimony transcripts were released. And I remember as a first-year law student reading those transcripts, and I saw that the officer, Darren Wilson, who killed Mike Brown, said that Mike Brown looked like a teenager before he shot him. And that seemed to some of my classmates were in agreement with that. And I just thought that was the most ridiculous and scary thing that I'd heard. And that's when I realized that while we absolutely have to change policies, we have to change laws, we have to change procedures, but we also have to do things that help build empathy and attack the heart where racism lies. And so that's where I started looking into not only media, but how can we get it where people are actually walking through another person's shoes? And that led me to video gaming.
Well, I am glad you are in that space, showing us something different and new and breaking ground and setting trends. Jules Porter joining me of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you so much for being here and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you too, Shaletta. Thank you.
And you all stick around. We've got more to come.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It is 12:37. You are listening to News Talk A30 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's the Shaletta Show. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host. Now, listen, anytime there is something going on in the community, I like to let y'all know what it is, what's happening. You know, we are the good neighbor station, and, you know, I like to be a good neighbor to the people who listen to this show. And today there is an event going on until 4 o'clock, a free pop-up shop where people can come and do some holiday shopping, and it is at no cost to them. There's clothes, there's household items. So listen, it may not be you, but if you know a family and the parents and the children need clothing, if you know a neighbor who lost everything, maybe in a fire, they may be in transition, maybe coming out of homelessness. There's a place that has hundreds of pairs of shoes, hundreds of outfits, suits and dress-up things, household items, toys for children. And they are giving them away an unlimited supply today for free. You know, if you go to the Salvation Army or the Goodwill, they're going to charge you a little bit. But this event today charges nothing. And I just thought, you know, this is a great opportunity for us to be good neighbors. And there's somebody that we know who may be hurting and needs a little bit of help this holiday season. So I brought Marsha Carter on. She is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. She is live at the Beyond New Distribution Center for this free holiday pop-up shopping spree for any and everyone to attend. Marsha, thank you for taking a break and taking some time to tell us about this event.
Hey, Shaletta, thanks for having me. The event is already happening. Families have been pouring in, and we are having a great time. Moms are getting shoes and clothes for their children. Dads are getting jackets for the winter weather that's coming up because we've had such good weather so far.
Yeah, we have been blessed, but the day is coming when folks will need hats and coats and gloves. And, you know, I'm thinking about the kids that are at school with my kids. And, you know, you see them with their hands in their pocket because they can't afford gloves or, you know, just kind of, you know, with a light jacket on when they really need a warm winter jacket. Talk to me about some of the things that you are giving away for free at this holiday pop-up shopping spree that's taking place today in St. Paul until 4 o'clock.
Yes, we have warm weather clothes. We have snow pants, snow jackets, joggers. We have fleece hoodies and pants, jeans for the entire family. So we have it from a brand new newborn that is being bundled up all the way to the grandparents. Whatever the need is, we have something for everyone. We have the hats, the scarf, the wraps, gloves, snow boots, shoes, sneakers, whatever the need is, we have it.
And this is going on today until 4 o'clock. You're at the Everest Arts and Science Building at 713 Minnehaha Avenue East in St. Paul. That's up on the third floor, the Everest Arts and Science Building, 713 Minnehaha East in St. Paul on the third floor. You've got folks out there at the door to let and usher people in so they don't have to worry about where they need to go or getting lost once they get into the building. And Marsha, you know, this distribution center that you have really been doing some good work. Let me just back the train up a little bit, because what is amazing is that you know, you go out with the fire department when they have families who have lost everything, and you and your team come out and provide them with clothing and household items as they go to a shelter or a hotel. And just yesterday, you worked with Dr. Verna Price, a friend of this show, to make sure that some of the men who are just getting out of jail, who were formerly incarcerated, who want to go out and look for jobs and find work, have suits. And you gave away hundreds of suits and clothing and shoes yesterday. Talk to me about the work that you do on a regular routine basis, because it's more than just this pop-up shop.
It is more, Shaletta, and you are correct. We did that yesterday, but we have teamed up with Red Cross, that families that have lost their entire belongings because of a house fire. Families of 5 and 7 that literally have nothing. We have been able to stand in the gap between what they currently need to what they will get future. So we've been able to clothe families of 7 and 10, no matter what the ages are, from the children to the parents. And we also have been receiving great donations for pots and pans, towels and washcloths. So we really try to provide holistically for the entire family.
And I need to know, how do you get all this stuff? Because when I saw all the ties and the suits and the shoes, I mean, stylish stuff that you gave away to hundreds of men yesterday over in North Minneapolis who are trying to get back into the workplace through Dr. Verna's replanting program. And I was like, where did she get all this stuff? I mean, it looks like Macy's. It looks like TJ Maxx. It's like a whole, you came with the racks and you had the suits and the shoes and the ties, and y'all were teaching people how to tie ties, and you were just loving on these men so that they could go out and their confidence was through the roof. Where do you get all these donations? How do you curate the clothing and the household items that you're giving away to people?
You know, Shaletta, it has come through word of mouth from family and friends. We have received a partnership with Junction Flats. We also have the opportunity with people like you that, you know, give us a shout out or thinks about us when they're out in the community, how to connect with other organizations. And so currently it is word of mouth. It's a friend of a friend. It's a family member. It's a community member that is helping with our supply.
Well, we got to get you connected to some folks, some organizations, whether it is Catholic Charities or the United Way or Face to Face or whomever, because the work that you are doing, so many people, especially transitioning out of homelessness, need this opportunity, because you can give someone a place to stay. But what if they don't have anything to wear? How are they going to, you know, survive? How are they going to go to school? How are they going to go get a job and take care of their families? You know, having something to wear, having something to put on. I saw it yesterday. It means so much to these people. Yeah, they need somewhere to stay, but also having something to wear matters.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And you know how the saying is, you know what? If you look good, you feel good. And we saw that demonstrated at Dr. Verna's event for the men. You know, they have fallen on hard times. You know, they're back out here in the community trying to make a life for themselves. And so we were able to supply quality suits and beautiful dress shirts and ties. And we saw them light up. And because they looked good, they felt good. And everyone in the room could feel it and see it.
And now, so, I'm getting some notes from some folks, and they want to know how they can get in touch with you, because they see the work that you're doing. This holiday pop-up shop is going on right now, and I don't know if they've got donations or they want to link you up with their companies, but I want to make sure before you go that people know how to get in touch with you. Give us your website and your email address.
Yes. So the website is beyondthedancenetwork.com or .org. And our email is beyondthedancenetwork@gmail.com.
Okay, beyondthedancenetwork@gmail.com. Marsha, what's the overall goal for today's event, this holiday pop-up shop that's for everyone, where people can come in and get complimentary clothing and household items? I know, you know, one of the things that you told me that was so sweet that's happening is kids are coming in and shopping for gifts for their moms who otherwise wouldn't get anything for Christmas. And you guys got a little station set up where they can gift wrap it. And that may be the only gift that that mom gets under the tree this year.
Right. And so our goal really is to help meet the need of each family, focus on moms that are always juggling, you know, one or two children, the household, and maybe work, and so that their budget can be extended to another area. This way we can help meet a need through the holiday season where they don't have to spend their hard-earned dollars on clothing or household goods. They can use their money in other areas. And so just trying to eliminate some of the hardship that comes with the inflation and comes with just not having enough. And we have more than enough. So please come and see us today.
She is over in St. Paul. This event is going on until 11 o'clock at the Everest Arts and Science Building, 713 Minnehaha Avenue East in St. Paul, up on the third floor. You can go and shop for free. There's clothing, there's household items, there's shoes. So if you're okay, you know, some of us are okay. If you're okay, that's awesome. But you know somebody who could benefit from this. Their children need winter clothes and boots and shoes and gloves and hats. Their family is in transition and could use an outfit or two or some household items. That is what this event is here for, and that is why Marsha has a mission to help our community. Thank you so much, Marsha, for joining us. I know you got to get back to helping everybody. I just can't wait to see the pictures and the amazing work that you are doing for our community. God bless you for everything.
Thank you so much, Shaletta. You are just rocking out here in this community, and we all just give you a shout out and a big thank you for all of your support.
Yep.
We love you.
We love you, too, and we are doing it together. And speaking of together, y'all don't go anywhere. Join me in the next break. We'll be right back. The Vikings are up. It is 7-3 over the Bengals. Second quarter, 11 minutes and 7 seconds left to go in the game. Flag on the play. The refs are doing what refs do. The refs are being real refy right now. But they're saying the Vikings had a false start. But we already know that we're going to pull this thing out. I cannot wait to talk to Steve Thompson at the end of this show to talk about this game, where we go from here. We've got to win it. This is our year. I don't care how messy it is. I don't care who the quarterback is. I really don't care. I just need them to pull out this W. Okay, I just need them to get this win because there are too many of us. Our blood pressure is counting on this. Okay, I'm on blood pressure medication right now, fooling with these Vikings. Okay, it's too many people who have been waiting for them to get to the mountaintop. And I'm telling y'all, prayer and fasting is needed. Okay. Prayer and fasting is needed because we've got to get through this game with a win. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It doesn't matter who's injured, who's doing well, who's hurt. I need next man up. That's what we are right now. Next man up. And I'm going to need everybody to take a hit. I'm going to need everybody to play every position. I don't care if the offense got to get on defense. It doesn't really matter to me. I just need us to win this game. And listen, I used to live in Cincinnati, so I know about these Bengals fans. These Bengals fans are treacherous, okay? Second only to the Browns. It's something about Ohio. It's something in the water. These fans, anybody who is still a Cleveland Browns fan after all the losses, damn, when the last time the Cleveland Browns won the Super Bowl? Oh, my God, was Jim Brown? Was Jim Brown? It was Jim Brown. It was Jim Brown. I think slavery was still happening when last time Cleveland Browns won a Super Bowl. And so those fans are hungry for a win in Ohio. They're hungry for a championship. And so we've just got to be even more determined and hungrier than they are to root those Vikings on a victory. I've been watching Reggie Wilson. It is so funny to see him because, you know, he's from Cincinnati. Skyline Chili is in his blood all the way. And he's been reporting on the game for Carol Levin. And to see him actually report on anything other than the Bengals, even he felt a little uncomfortable. But it was so good to see him out there, to see him live reporting. It's so funny to see him. I don't want to say he's rooting for the Vikings. He is reporting for the Vikings. But I did feel like he may just a little bit be rooting for the purple and gold. And I tell you, we got to pull it out. We got to win because it's too much heartbreak. It's too much heartbreak. Minnesota sports fans, we've been through a lot. We put a lot of pressure on the Lynx. We really do. We really do, because the Lynx always come through. How many championships have they given us? 1, 2, 3? They always come through for us. And so, you know, the ladies, you know, it's you know, the ladies are always going to make sure that things get done. Maybe we need some more female football players. I don't know. But what I do know is that I don't think the Vikings fans, we can't take any more heartbreak. We can't take a loss today. I'm gonna need us. I don't care if the score stays 7-3. We're gonna need to ride this out. We're gonna need to win this game. We're gonna need to do whatever it is that we have to do to make sure we come home with a victory. It doesn't matter about being an underdog. It doesn't matter that we're away. I don't care who the refs are. We just gotta make it do what it do on today, because we just can't. We can't take another season where we have to say maybe next year, we're looking forward to next year. No, this year. So I need all the prayer warriors out there to get to praying. If you were going to have lunch, go ahead and skip it. Let's fast together, because we need these Vikings to pull out a win. Now, we got 2 more hours of the Shaletta Show to pull out of our hats, and you don't go anywhere. Stick around. There is so much more to come.